This is a Clearview original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine.
The Mighty Musca, who's it?
The Mighty Muscadine. It's a grape, and it's grown right here in North Carolina. In fact, the Muscadine grape is North Carolina's state grape.
I thought North Carolina's grape was the Scuppernong grape.
Shh. The Muscadine grape produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when it's under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a whole host of health benefits.
Well, that's all well and good, but in my experience, anything healthy typically tastes like dog water.
And that's the magic of using real natural Muscadine grapes. Muscadine grapes have two extra chromosomes than regular table grapes have. Those extra chromosomes provide a much-needed genetic ability to help build your health. Unlike other fruits or berries, the Muscadine grape can resist mold, bacteria, and viruses without the use of harmful chemicals.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm very rarely in the mood for grape juice.
Well, good news. You can head over to MightyMuscadine.com and see that they have an entire lineup of products designed for everyday use. If you work out, they have protein powder. I know you wash your hair and brush your teeth, right?
Not very often.
That's gross. But if you're a normal person who does, they have shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. They have a one-a-day dietary supplement. They have body lotion. I'm telling you, these guys have it all.
Sounds expensive.
Not at all. All of their products are extremely affordable.
Even for a skinflint like me?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I like you so much. I'm going to give you this promo code. It's T-O-D-A-Y. Promo code TODAY. You use that promo code at checkout and get yourself a sweet discount. And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. Don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com. And use that promo code T-O-D-A-Y. You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinav Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find us online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com. You were so exuberant.
I wanted you to know who I was.
You were so excited.
I was like, that's who I am.
I'm John Galantis.
I was about to say it even louder.
And I'm an animated character.
Yeah, now I don't want to. But you guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and your family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links in the description so you can do just that. Today's date, the word is coming to us from Deuteronomy 4:24. You know why, right?
Because it is April the 24th.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly
that's how
why
that
we're
works.
Doing it. That's why we're doing it. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God.
People hear that God is a jealous God, but we don't really even understand what that means because we get jealousy and envy mixed
right,
up.
Right.
Envy is I want something that you have that right. belongs to you. Jealousy is I want what is mine.
Yeah.
I want to keep what is mine. I want to protect what is mine. I'm rightfully jealous of my wife's affections.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
if
yeah.
she started loving up on another guy, I would be upset about that.
Yeah, we put jealousy in the same category as envy. Like that's something that like bitter boyfriends have or whatever has just a very holy quality.
Yeah.
You know, to say that God is a jealous God means that he will not share his glory with anybody, not for any reason under the sun. And so it really speaks to his holiness, his standard of perfection mm-hmm. that we strive for, that we know that ultimately we can't achieve, but through Jesus Christ, you know, we do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's really an encouragement to know that God loves you that much.
Yes.
He feels that strongly about you.
Yes. You are his and he will fight to keep you and protect you.
Well, it is Wednesday.
I know. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
You had something else to say.
Your hands are purple.
They are purple.
What is that? You look like Thanos.
Today is Wednesday.
Or you look like you strangled Barney the Dinosaur.
But I wanted to strangle somebody this morning. Today, I have a bonus gripe. Not a grape, because it looks like I have grapes,
right?
A gripe.
So gripe. That's our Tuesday segment.
I know. The gripe is ready for the harvest.
Wednesday gripe.
The gripe's ready for the harvest, and you got to harvest it when it's
I'm
ready.
I'm gonna allow it. Welcome to the grapevine.
Here's my gripe. Okay. In Awana, we have various dress-up nights.
Yeah, the kids love it.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Awana, if you don't know, is a children's program that we do here at Clearview Church.
Sure. Dress up night. Kids get extra points for dressing up. It's a fun time. A great time to have by all. Love it. Well, coming up, at the time of this recording, it was last week.
Right.
But Wednesday mm-hmm. was tie-dye night.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So for those of you who've never done tie-dye, it's a simple process, but it's sort of time consuming. Mm-hmm. So you have the tie-dye, you kind of bunch the shirt up in different patterns and rubber bands and all kind of stuff, and you use the dye and dye different sections. It is dye.
It's fun. We did it as a kid.
It's fun. So then what you have to do is you have to let the shirt sit overnight, then rinse the shirt or whatever it is that you're tie-dyeing, rinse the shirt, and then wash the shirt.
It's a fun process. The way you entered the studio this morning implied that you did not have fun.
So here's the not fun part.
Okay.
So I have 5 children, plus my wife and I. So that's at least 7
shirts,
items.
Yeah.
Plus we had like 2 pairs of like leggings or sweatpants, 1 hoodie. I mean, there were multiple things that
y'all
were tie-dyed.
Going all tie-dyed.
Right. There were multiple things that were tie-dyed. Great. Okay. Love that. No problem. Wonderful. I had a great time. Elizabeth, when she left, she was like, hey, will you make sure that you rinse the tie-dye before you leave?
Sure.
And then put it in the washing machine. Absolutely. No problem. I can handle that. I thought, mistakenly, this is on me. It's not on anybody but me.
Got you.
I thought, you know, I mean, we got a substantial amount of things to wash, but 10, 15 minutes, I can rinse it out and just drop it in the washing machine.
Yeah.
Boy, was I wrong.
What happened?
I was washing clothes. Because you have to rinse it until like the water runs clear.
Right.
I was rinsing shirts and hoodies and pants over the sink for 45 minutes.
Why? Did it just not work
thought? No, it just took that long. I just didn't expect it to take that long to get all the excess dye out of
So you didn't do something wrong.
No. I just miscalculated the time.
Okay.
I made an error, but my gripe is,
Why does it take so long to rinse tie-dye out of a shirt?
Why in the world? It's 2024. Why does it take that long?
I thought you made a mistake made it take long.
No, the only mistake I made was miscalculating the time. It was an error completely on my part. I am totally to blame, but I'm still going to gripe about it.
And it's one of those gripes, too, because it was like, hey, we're gonna meet early this morning to record. Let's all be there at 9.
Yep.
And it's like the studio's set up, lights are on, cameras are rolling.
No problem. Rinsing. I'm like, hey, Siri, text John Galantis. I'm running late. I'm stuck in tie-dye.
Nothing sucks the fun out of tie-dye like really running late and being like but you're doing it for this really fun thing. So you see your kids and they're all like, woohoo, dad, I'm wearing a tie-dye shirt and Iwana. And they're like, I don't want to see that tie-dye.
Yeah, really what it is, I better see that tie-dye shirt for years to come. It better be part of your wardrobe.
We kind of cheated because Gavin has this Mickey Mouse shirt that's already sort of tie-dye, so I was like, I think it'll work.
Yes, perfect. Did you think Dr. Shriver did tie-dye?
No, not a chance.
You don't think that was a thing in India?
Not a chance. Well, maybe. Who knows?
Maybe not tie-dye,
but I wonder if they dyed clothes. Yeah, well, probably. They had a lot of Western stuff where he was, so maybe they did. Let's ask him. My question is he going to do tie-dye night tonight?
I don't know.
Let's figure it out.
We'll see. Write in and let us know your tie-dye experiences or blunders, or if you ever miscalculated the time for something. I need like some comfort here in knowing that I'm not alone.
Oh, yeah.
252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey, what's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm Ellie.
And we just want to take a second and let you know about Dr. Shah's new book on the market right now called Can We Recover the Original Text of the New Testament? Boy, that is a long title.
True, but it's a very simple message. The original text of the New Testament is not only attainable, but there are lots of different ways that scholars go about discovering it.
There's a lot of people out there saying that the original text is lost forever, or that it's hopeless to actually try to find it, or that there's many texts of the New Testament. But alongside Dr. David Allen Black, Dr. Shah has actually compiled papers from some of the world's leading experts in textual criticism, including one written by himself on various methodologies for extracting the original text. And listen, if you're interested in textual criticism, this book is a great introduction to the field.
You can pick up your copy on Amazon, or you can buy it from our church website. That's clearviewbc.org. We're going to leave a link in the description box so you can get your copy today.
Love that. Ellie, let's hop back in.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, the host of today's show, Tie-Dye King, maybe?
Tie-Dye Extraordinaire.
Tie-Dye Legend. If there's one thing we get people write into the show all the time, they say, if there's one thing we know about Dr. Abhidhan Shah, Abaddon shot.
What did you just call me?
Abaddon shot. It started to run together. Look, when you start to talk fast on the radio, man, sometimes your lips get ahead of you. Abaddon shot. Waradu.
You eliminated several letters from that sentence and just compressed the words together.
This is a 30-minute show, man. We got to roll. Tonight is tie-dye night. Is this something that you plan on taking part in tonight?
No.
Not going to happen.
No. I'm no hippie.
No, I'm just kidding.
Did you partake in tie-dye the first go-round in our culture?
I had a tie-dye shirt.
Okay.
But I did not, like, make it or
70s,
anything.
Though. Okay. That was the set. Was tie-dye around when you came to America? Was it around in India?
No, but see, when I came to America, there was sort of a revival of tie-dye.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
In the 90s?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, there was. And I saw guys wearing a tie-dye shirt.
But that wasn't your bag?
I wore one. I had one. Uh-huh. But it was never like, and I didn't wear t-shirts at the time.
Right.
I've never been a t-shirt guy.
Even when you were young, like coming to America, you didn't wear one? Well, I guess because you wear a school uniform to school.
Well, it's not just that. You just don't wear... Nowadays, kids in India or teenagers wear t-shirts.
Uh-huh.
Growing up, we never did.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were just collared shirts?
Collared
like
shirts, yeah. Polos, some, but really button-down
collar
shirt.
Like a collar shirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
We always wore like that.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just a different culture.
Oh, well, I was going to ask, is that because you guys grew up Christian, or was it because boys in India, that's what they wore?
That's what they wear.
Wow.
And even to this day, these are far more prevalent than polos or whatever. Mm. Because most of the time, these kind of clothes are handmade.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay. Right. I mean, they're stitched.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that they're like Savile Row or German Street in London stitched very well. What I mean is you have tailors and down in neighborhoods and they'll make it for you. And so most people wore collared shirts.
No tie-dye shirts happening.
No. I did wear one time... I went with my dad to buy some clothes, and I liked this one shirt. It was it was like the snap buttons on it.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
And had like an elastic thing over here, so it was like kind of really tight.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like how it kind of hugs you, but it was kind of really loose and all that.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of like the style back in the mid to late 80s.
Right.
My mom didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah, she's like, that looks so worldly.
I was like, she said that looked worldly.
Yeah, I was like, this is going to lead me down the wrong path. I'm going to make wrong friends and lose my way.
This shirt will be the beginning of the end for you.
Beginning of the end will be.
Wow.
Not good.
That's pretty funny.
Well, you know, you've given people some fashion advice on the show, but we want to give people some literary advice as well. Today is Dr. Shah's Book Club. Get excited.
Oprah's
Pull up a chair.
Book club out of here.
Fix yourself.
Reese Witherspoon's book club. I got respect for you, but we're not talking about it
there.
On the show.
Fix yourself a hot beverage.
Yeah.
Pull up a chair. We're
going to
give
right
you
here.
Some reading recommendations today. See, there you go. Product placement. It's all about branding. Dr. Shah, what is on the bookshelf for us today?
Great question. Today's book comes from John C. Maxwell, called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership.
Guarantee you John Great Maxwell book. Would wear that striped sweater.
Yeah.
100%.
He probably would.
And you guys have read this book, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, this was the first book that we read as a team together.
Yes.
Yes. So what I mean by that is on the Clearview staff, every month we read a book designed for leadership, or if it takes longer than a month, but we're always reading something to help us foster leadership.
Goodness.
Foster, what happened?
This David found the shirt.
It's
not the exact shirt, but it is close enough.
How did he find it?
There it is. That's what.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Fine. That's
like Saved by the Bell.
Doesn't
style.
It seem like somebody who's lost their way?
It looks like honestly, it looks like a
on
vagrant.
The path of,
it's giving wayward. It's giving.
I'm gonna say we're
vagrant.
This is insane. This has nothing to do with John Maxwell. Looks like he'd probably wear this. It looks like something they would wear on Full House or Saved by the Bell.
This
looks like something Danny Tanner would wear.
Yes,
or maybe
100%
Joey.
Yes.
If we're really gonna. Yeah.
It was
split
black.
Hairs.
And I mean, this is exactly how it was. Exactly.
What did you, David, what did you, get on the mic for a second. What did you type?
What are your search terms?
I know we need to talk about John Maxwell.
That's hilarious.
We need to talk about John Maxwell, but what did you search?
Striped elastic arms and waist shirt men.
Well,
this is it. This is the thing. But
But, this, how nice, a gentleman,
yeah,
a good Christian boy, mm-hmm, and then you have this.
We're putting this. So if you're just listening on the podcast, you're not going to see the shirt. But if you're watching the video, this is the shirt right here,
yeah,
and you can see how vicious and deranged this looks.
I'll do this for you. If you text into the show, if you're just a listener, if you text into the show 252-582-5028, I'll send you this picture.
I'll send you the shirt.
All right, now I want to get all
back
of us.
Back to John Maxwell.
I want to get all of us
John
this shirt.
John Maxwell would 100% wear that.
I want to get all of us this shirt and just unironically wear it on the podcast.
Let's do it. Let's make that our podcast shirt. Every month we'll wear it.
That's funny.
That's our book club
shirt. My mom
shirt.
Somewhere in heaven's like,
no,
she still lost their way.
She
lost their way.
Still disapproves.
No longer a decent Christian boy.
Oh, that's funny. Too funny. This book, though, I mean, the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, I remember us going through this as a team.
Yes.
And just every single chapter, I mean, obviously there's 21 of them, but every single chapter was just hard-hitting. It's stuff that makes sense as soon as you hear it, but you think it would be common sense, but it's actually, you know, putting it into practice, it requires some finesse. It
That's
requires
right.
some skill.
Yeah. To back up a little bit, John Maxwell is one of my heroes. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of him. And for the first time I heard of him was somewhere in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard about this pastor from Skyline Wesleyan Church in San Diego, I think it is. Let me think for a moment. Skyline in California, of course, but yeah, San Diego. And that he was leaving the ministry to go into teaching leadership. And I was like, man, what a guy. Why would you do something like this? Why would you walk away from the ministry? And even a successful ministry, a growing church, a booming church, and going into this. And then, so I listened to him here and there, still not quite settled on him.
Right.
And then later on, I began to listen to his leadership principles, and I realized, oh, okay. And then I also understood that what he's trying to do is he's still trying to share the gospel, but in a whole different way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he's reaching a segment of society who otherwise would not listen.
Right.
And he's still making a difference. Now, he'll say that in his podcast, in his lecture, in his speeches, whatever, he will say, you know, I'm a person of faith. Mm-hmm. I believe in Jesus Christ. But, you know, maybe you may want to try something else, or you may want to just meditate or something. Mm-hmm. Now, he gives people that out.
Yeah.
But he does not shy away from saying, this works because I know Christ.
That's right. He shouted you out on his show
yes.
at one time, I believe.
Yes.
And I can't remember how that came about. I remember you, I think you set it up?
Yep.
How did that happen?
Yeah, so we have a relationship with the John Maxwell Foundation through our, you know, the leadership initiative that we do here with our students, a certification program.
Church.
Right here at Clearview in North Carolina. But we have a membership to their organization. Mm-hmm. And through that, you know, you get exclusive access to things. You get kind of sneak peeks, behind the scenes stuff. But there's also an opportunity where you can submit a ministry, or you can submit, it's the word of the day.
Right.
On his Minute with Maxwell.
Yeah.
Kind of just real brief broadcast. And because of our relationship, because of our subscription, we can submit that word, and it's a shout out to Abadan Shah of
right.
Henderson, North Carolina. And we were on Minute with Maxwell.
Yeah.
We were on that episode.
That's really awesome. Cool.
And
if
people
we can
heard
find it,
it,
I would love to link to it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
people found it.
Cool.
In fact, I had a gentleman who wanted me to work with him. It's been kind of busy for me, but I'm hoping to reconnect with him. He's a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And he follows John Maxwell as well. And he heard my name mentioned. He's like, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a person here who is connected to John Maxwell leadership, the whole organization.
Incredible.
And so he reached out to me. But anyways, John Maxwell has written many books that I've read. Of course, the one on developing the prayer ministry of the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different title, but it's sort of that's what it's about. Developing the Leader Within You. Let's see, How Successful People Think, Be All You Can Be. Be a People Person. That book helped me a lot, looking at different kinds of people and how you relate to them. Developing the Leaders Around You, again, a great book. 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, which we're going to discuss today. 17 Indisputable Laws of Teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read that book, but it's a really good book. Thinking for a Change,
read
that book, good book.
I think we read that book together.
Yes,
that was a great
one.
Yeah. 25 Ways to Win with People,
Winning with People, 360 Degree Leader is a great book. I recommend that wholeheartedly. Leadership Gold, Lessons I've Learned from a Lifetime of Leading, great book. Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And this book I bought years ago. It came out in 2010, and I've read most of it.
Wow.
And it's a great book on communication. And so anyways, there are so many other books that he's written, and one just came out. If I can find the name of that book, it's right here. Change Your World. Change Your World came out right in the middle of the pandemic.
Wow.
And he was calling people to step up and be the leader you're supposed to be. Be the change agent. Mm-hmm. Be the one who is courageous. And it was a great, great book.
That's awesome.
And there's so much in this book that I can talk about, but let's just look at the first one, which is The Law of the Lid. Leadership ability determines a person's level of effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I think that's something that really helped me a lot, knowing that it doesn't matter how good at a task I am. If you can't lead, you're going to, you can be effective, but you won't be maximally effective.
Yeah.
It will, your ability to lead determines how effective you are.
Yeah. I heard a preacher say one time in a message, he said, God did not give him that big church at the time he was really praying for that big church. It didn't happen. And he said this, and I've often quoted him or put it in my words. He said, if I had gotten the church, the one I have right now, back then, I would have brought it down to my size.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And same thing, Clearview today, I mean, it's a booming, great, big church. But if I had this church 20 years ago, I would have whittled it down to my level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's tough for people who tough for people who are, like, when you're there, it's like easy to acknowledge, but when you're here and you're like, I'm not ready for what I desperately want, that's a hard pill.
Yeah.
That's a hard pill.
That's something we've talked about too. We're not saying don't dream, don't have a vision, don't have a big hope for the future.
Right.
Set those goals high, set those goals, you know, far out and big and sensational. But the prayer is not, God, give me that, is God, make me ready for that. Yes. Make me able to handle that.
It's also a generational thing, too, because I don't think, I mean, I'm not you specifically, but like, I didn't grow up hearing you have to work hard for what you want. I grew up hearing like, you can have what you want in life. You're special.
Yeah.
You can be whatever you want to be. You can do anything you want to do and be anything you want to be. So it's like, I want to lead worship for a 2000 member church. So to hear, hey, you're not ready at 21 years old, you're not ready for that.
Yeah.
That stings. Yeah. It hurts.
And now at 32, it's like, well, of course. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. But back then that was tough to hear.
Yeah. Because you're seeing people successful who are young and your mind says, why them, not me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
What are they doing that I'm not doing? Oh, yeah. I can dress like them. I can act like them. I can talk like them. But what you don't understand is there's so much more to that person than meets the eye.
That's right.
What you're seeing behind that screen or on TV or whatever. There's so much more about that person. They are a good business manager.
Yeah.
Now, I may not agree with that person's theology, okay? I may not agree with everything on John Maxwell's theology. I'm not looking to him for my theological views.
Right.
As long as his core views are where they need to be, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And they are.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to really understand that that person has become successful because they had other things in place. Of course, God had a plan for them, but they had other things in place.
That's exactly right.
Business, vision casting, perseverance, hard work, education, the right team.
Mm-hmm.
They understood the culture to which they were talking to, the culture in which that church was set. And so when I would look at that, I would go, oh, wait, yeah, now I know why they are doing it and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get there. What do I need to get there? And then I began to study and research and talk to people and read books and books like this. And began to slowly make a difference.
Mm-hmm. It really helped me a lot when we started doing this stuff, because I would look at some of those people that were in my field and say, okay, like, ask that same question. What do I need to do to get there?
Yeah.
And the answer was never better tech. Yeah. The answer was never better musicianship.
Yeah.
It was always be a better leader.
Yeah.
Be a stronger person. Be a better Christian.
John Maxwell says it here in this first chapter in a kind of a box. He says, the higher you want to climb, the more you need leadership. The greater the impact you want to make, the greater your influence needs to be.
Mm, true.
That's the law of the lid.
Yeah. So if I want to be a part of something successful, I've got to stretch my capacity as a leader.
Yeah.
And it's like from there, it just opens the door to so many other conversations.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but young people's minds are so influenceable.
Yeah.
That when you say stuff like that, like if you were to read that quote to them, the law of the lid, they're everything to a young person is new, and they're like, oh, I never thought about it that way before. And that's how they get sucked into all these TikTok influencers so easily. And Dr. Shah, I think you said it yourself. They put it in such a way that's fresh and new, and it's like, I never thought of it that way before. It must be true. So also with you guys, when you're doing the leadership initiative, going through John Maxwell's program, because they're so influenceable, they're learning real foundational leadership truths.
Yeah.
And I think the way that this book is written really fosters that for a young person's mind. I mean, I was like, I don't know how old we were. I think I was like 23, 24 when we read this for the first time. 20. And I remember every chapter had that, oh my goodness, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Here's another chapter, which is chapter number 9, The Law of Magnetism, which says, who you are is who you attract.
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
So, of course, I'm from India, living in the southern part of the United States in North Carolina, in Henderson, which is a black and white community. So very divided. If you go by that, who you are is who you attract. Well, there are not many Indians here.
True.
So you have to read deeper into that principle. It's not just your outward appearances. It's more about how you think, who you are, what you believe, what you stand for, what your convictions are. That's what is being referred to here, not just what color or what tint is my skin.
Right.
What is my skin pigmentation, or what is my hairstyle, or how do I dress? Okay, those things may attract people, but they're not going to sustain people in the long run.
Right.
Do you think it works on the negative side of that as well? Meaning whatever my weaknesses are, if I don't seek and grow out of those weaknesses, I'm going to attract.
You attract. If you play the victim all the time, you will have victim mindset people around you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're constantly critical about everything, it just cannot help it but be critical. Now, there are people who are critical, and it's good criticism. It's criticism that helps you.
Right.
There is criticism that makes you better. There's criticism that challenges you.
It's really coaching.
Yeah. But then there's also cruel criticism, which is criticism just to be mean.
Right.
If you're on those kind of people, you'll attract people who are just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just cruel in their criticism. They don't care about your growth. They just want to tear you down.
That's true.
And those are the kind of people you'll attract. So, the law of magnetism is very important. You have the people around you because that's how you are.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one more I want to give to you guys, which will help you go ahead and go right now and buy this book.
You should.
Or download it on Kindle or whatever, which is The Law of Victory, which is number 15. Leaders find a way for the team to win. Okay? Team. So the team concept is very important.
Mm-hmm.
John Maxwell says it too, and I don't know if he's saying it because he came up with it or he got it from somebody else, which is, if you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go far, take others with you.
Mm, true.
And this book talks about that.
Yeah. That's a great point.
That's something that you emphasize a lot here, Dr. Shah, is the team that we work with. When did the team become, I guess, a goal for you? Or when did it become that driving force for you?
I would say back in 2009. And we moved in 2008, January, into the new building. Which is not this one. It was a Jehovah's Witness building that was rented out to us. We met there and began to change our constitution, our bylaws, all that stuff. And actually, not the constitution bylaws, the core values and mission statement, vision statement, we began to examine that. And then cast the vision for where we're going to be in the next 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. 2009, God began to grow the church. It grew immediately. But then a lot of people who came through the front door walked out the back door because they were coming there for the wrong reason.
Mm.
Another church was going through a turmoil, and they came, but then they left.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a glimpse of what our church could be at that point. And I began to pray. I said, God, take me to the next level of leadership.
Mm.
And I had learned some other lessons, being creative. How do you publicize things? How do you organize things, organize events?
reach the community, all these things. But I knew that it was time to get help.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2009 began the process of seeking out somebody to come alongside me.
Yeah.
So that's when the whole idea of team began.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
And it was just one person at the time.
Yeah. But look what it's grown into today.
Yeah. Today we have like 10, 12 people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
God's brought the right people at the right time.
That's right.
So good. Love this book. Hopefully it was helpful for you guys. If you're looking to pick up a copy, we can leave a link in the description box below. 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. If you find yourself in a leadership position, or if you're thinking about that one day, this is a great resource for you. If you enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Be a part of what God is doing through the Clearview Today Show to impact the nations with the gospel. John, what's coming up tomorrow?
Talking about an undeniable reality of the Christian faith, and that is doubt. You know, I don't know if you guys know this, but we've had at least 10 or 11 people write in the last year asking us to talk about doubt. People feel bad for doubting God.
Yeah.
People don't know if it's a sin or not to doubt. They point to Doubting Thomas. They point to all sorts of people in the Bible who doubted. So we're going to talk about that. How do you have doubt or how do you reconcile doubt in your Christian faith?
Yeah, make sure you guys are here. Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.
What's going on, Clearview Today family? John here, and I want to let you know about a movie being produced right here in North Carolina called Resurrecting Eden. This is a love story. It's a period piece set in the southern United States between two slaves who find themselves on opposite ends of slave society. There's an executive team who's putting this movie together, and they're calling for actors and sponsors right here in North Carolina, Triangle area, and beyond. There's two very important meetings happening on Saturday, April the 20th. There's a sponsorship breakfast happening at 9:30 a.m. And then the casting call for the movie is happening later that same day from 2 to 4 p.m. And both those meetings are being held at Clearview Church in Henderson, but it is happening very soon. So if you're an actor or a potential sponsor in the North Carolina area, you can reach out to 252-572-2358 to register. Again, that number is 252-572-2358. And we're going to leave all the relevant information in the description below.